Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Joining our team on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline right now on a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino in Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. It's Will Brinson, NFL senior writer for CBSSports.com. Will, before we start talking some football, critical question. What is your bowling high score?
Good question.
Oh, I think it's like 215.
Oh, dude, if you break 200, I feel like you're a pro.
You're a stud.
Yeah, I feel like you're a pro.
I took bowling in college, actually. NC State offers a bowling class. Before they tore down the late, great Western Lanes.
Yeah.
Used to roll up Hillsborough Street and take that. I've broken 200 a couple of times.
You're a beast.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm like, I don't do spin or anything, so it doesn't happen a ton. I haven't bowled lately, but I mean,
it's
more about alignment on the little slots.
Right.
And if I'm on, I can pick up a lot of spares, but I'm not like a bomb.
I can't pick up the spares. I can knock down 8 or 9 pretty good, but I can't get that
one lone solitary pin just vexes you.
Or the 2, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 1 really vexes me.
Right.
I'd rather have 3 because it's a bigger target.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I'm more like a Greg Maddux bowler than a Randy Johnson bowler.
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. Not a lot of power.
Right.
Precision.
But I think that's the way to go, though.
Yeah.
What is the correct terminology? Like, we're just calling it a hook. Is it called a hook when you spin it like that? Like right to left? What's that called?
The hook spin. I mean, that's what my brother does. My brother's like, he's like 6'2", 230, and
yeah.
I'm not like 5'11", like
right.
180, well, probably 185 right now, but
right.
Football season. And he gets like a smaller ball and just grips it like a bear.
Right.
Just wheels that thing down there. I think it's hook spin is the
That's
layman.
The correct terminology.
It's definitely not a curveball.
Well,
yeah, that's the one.
But
I
you know,
it.
A lot of guys, if you ever watch, sometimes I'll watch because I do love bowling. I'll watch every once in a while if I see it on ESPN or something. A lot of guys now do two hands.
Wait, what?
They do two-handed bowling.
No way.
Yes. A couple
like
of
like a two-handed backhand in
they
tennis?
Do two-handed bowling.
Really?
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
Yes. That's wacky.
By the way, if you guys watch Kingpin in a while, because it's kind of fallen under the radar. It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. It's been many, many years since I've seen that. The only reason we're bringing it up is we're having a big kind of like ratings dinner tonight, and we decided to post-game it bowling.
That's our after-party.
Cool. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love bowling.
This is like a celebration of great ratings, or is this like a loser leaves town, bad ratings situation?
No.
Luckily, I mean, with the Nats and everything, we've been on a nice little tear here. So we'll go out and celebrate.
You guys always have good ratings, right?
We've actually had great ratings, lucky. But we just never get together. So maybe it's a new tradition.
Cool. I like it. I mean, the whole 106.7 lineup has great ratings.
It actually kills.
It's a great lineup here, no doubt.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. See, I only care about the Redskins. I don't care about the rest of the league.
Which means he's miserable because he cares about the Redskins.
Like, the NFL's dead to me this year because the Redskins are so bad. I mean, fans here are lost. No one goes to the games. People don't care. The Nats are trouncing them in popularity. There's a big poll that the Washington Post came out. I guess the only reason to watch the Skins at this point is to see if Haskins can do this or not, right?
Yeah, or to see if Bill Callahan can do the equivalent of bowling a 300. By completing every single Redskins game that he coaches in under 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh, man. He's been racing through the game.
Have you ever seen anybody who loves the running game more than Bill Callahan?
No, but I mean, I feel like he wanted to murder Adam Gase last week because Gase is like throwing it, running up the score, and he's like, we're at 3 hours now. I've got a brunch, damn it. Like, he's like, it was 3 hours. Because you know the first. Is it four games he's coached, right? Since Miami, so one,
he's
two, three,
five.
5. He scores 5. So I think his first three games were under. They're the only three games. In fact, his first four games are the only four games of the NFL season that were under 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, do the sports books offer an under on the time of the games? Because if they posted it 3 hours, you'd take the under.
Right. But it was 3:16 for the Jets game. So I think he was probably irate. Like, what are you doing? I got to get a K&W here, Adam. What's going on?
No, it was ridiculously long.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is about as bad as it gets, because at least in Cincinnati, I would probably rather have the Redskins roster than the Bengals roster, I think. You got a quarterback, right? You drafted a quarterback early. We know he's got upside. We don't know if you can harness the upside. That's what it ultimately comes down to. I don't think we'll find out if he can harness the upside this season. I mean, Dwayne Haskins is like a lot of young quarterbacks, almost all young quarterbacks, with the exception of maybe, two or three, is going to need the Redskins to build like the Ravens did for Lamar Jackson. The Redskins have to build an ecosystem around him that caters to his skill set and that allows him to flourish and to develop. I mean, that's what the Ravens did in getting they drafted him at 32. Remember, they didn't take him first overall. And I'm not trying to get off the Redskins here, but
no, it's good.
It's a perfect example of how you groom a young quarterback. They not only, moved on from Marty Morningwig and went with Greg Roman, and Morningwig was fine, but Roman has thrived off developing running quarterbacks who can also, who can also stay in the pocket and pass. I mean, Lamar Jackson, similar skill set to Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. They also went out. They got a great offensive line. They drafted and invested in the offensive line. Ozzie Newsome's final draft, they get Lamar Jackson, Orlando Brown, and Mark Andrews. I mean, that should tell you what they were trying to build. Then they used analytics to decide who are the best running backs operating out of shotgun in case we want to do read option stuff. Mm-hmm. We want to put Lamar in shotgun. Mark Ingram, they got in free agency. Justice Hill, they got through the draft. And you can look at the analytics. All these guys dominate out of shotgun runs. And then they already had Gus Edwards. So there's like three of the top five guys in terms of their various spots. They do that and they improve on the defense, and wham, bam, they got a playoff.
I love that. I wish the Skins would do that. The problem is the way fans are, and hell, I mean, you see organizations doing this now. They want to make a 7-game referendum on whether or not you can play or not, and move on if you don't show enough flashes.
I mean, you can't do that with Dwayne Haskins. He is throwing to Terry McLaurin's a stud.
Yeah,
and I hope that he's going to be awesome, and he was a great draft find. But, he's the top weapon. I mean, they played together last year for 13 games or whatever it was at Ohio State. You cannot possibly look at Dwayne Haskins with the help that he has around him. He started the season with they started the season with the franchise left tackle, who, by the way, they just refused to trade, on refusing to come to work. I mean, the whole thing's a disaster. You can't throw a young quarterback in there without the help on the offensive line, without the help in at the receiving options, and expect him to magically thrive when he's got 12 or 13 career starts in college. It's just not going to work like that. And that's my biggest concern, is that Dwayne Haskins will be, the next guy in a long line of Washington Redskins quarterbacks who wasn't given the proper surroundings and ended up failing as a result.
Joined by Will Brinson, NFL senior writer for CBSSports.com. So I didn't stay up to watch the end of the Texans-Colts game, but there was some controversy there. Explain what happened with the fumble, non-fumble at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was wild. So, there's a couple of controversies with it. First of all, that game was terrible. It was a three-point battle between 2-6-4 playoff teams for first place in the division, and it was the most. I watched NC State, Georgia Tech, and NC State was more interesting.
It was a snoozer. I agree. I watched like a quarter, maybe a little bit more, and
half was bad.
Bore fest.
I mean, it's like Bill O'Brien, if you run Carlos Hyde into the line one more time, first down. When you've got Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins is running free like a gazelle through the Colts secondary, he's just like, let's see if we can get three more yards with Carlos Hyde. What are you doing, man? At the end of the game, so the Colts had gone on this methodical drive about to midfield. All of a sudden, Frank Wright realizes he needs to score points. They get a 3rd and 7. They get a 4th and 7. They can't convert. Ball goes to the Texans. Texans get a couple first downs. They're trying to melt the clock. And on 3rd and something, I can't remember exactly what it was, They run. I'm pretty sure it's a designed run. Quarterback off tackle. Deshaun Watson runs up and he's diving, and as he's diving, the ball pops loose, and you know people are freaking out, and Colts might have another shot. They don't review it, and they didn't add 11 seconds onto the clock. So Deshaun Watson was able to take the next snap, just throw the ball really high in the air, burn off the final 5 seconds instead of punting or kicking a field goal, and the Texans won. And Darius Leonard said afterwards, I had the ball. It was a fumble. And so that's sort of the controversy. And I think the reason that they didn't review it, and I don't know that if they did review it and they looked at it and said there's nothing to review, is that Watson fumbled, but you can't – there's no chance there would be a clear recovery situation, which is what you need – in the event that it was not ruled a fumble or that it was ruled Texans possession. You'd have to see a Colts player gripping it in there. The problem is that Al Riveron and his bumbling group of pajama wearing cartoon watching, you know, reviewers up in New York. I mean, they've built so much mistrust in their ability to properly manage any sort of review that at this point you might as well just cut to Pat Sajak spinning a wheel, and it's turnover, pass interference, call stands, and it's just throwing on a wheel, and let's throw some more intrigue in here, because they don't get anything. Oh, very nice. They don't get anything right, and it's just hard. Why would you expect them to properly adjudicate any situation?
This is a get to know Will Brinson question, because you just feel like that type of guy. Are you a James Holzhauer Jeopardy guy?
I'm probably more of a Ken Jennings guy, I think, but I liked Holzhauer. It was cool to see a sports betting guy. Is that wrong or is that right?
No, you're right. You're good. You're good.
Yeah. Holzhauer. I liked Holzhauer. I thought that, and I say this knowing that if I was in the same situation, I would wholeheartedly lean into it. I thought Ken Jennings sort of respected the game a little bit more, an old school guy who played the game, didn't want the pomp and circumstance.
Oh, you want the purist.
I'm purist, yeah. James Holzhauer.
So wait a second, you're killing Bill O'Brien for running Carlos Hyde 1,000 times, yet you want the purest Jeopardy guy. Which are you, Will?
Well, I just thought Holzhauer leaned into it. I'm multifaceted. I thought I'm a diverse portfolio persona. I thought Holzhauer leaned in it a little too much, I don't know. I felt a little schmoozy, a little PR-y. I like Jeopardy more. I don't know. I want Jeopardy buttoned up, serious, robotic, killing machine in Jennings. But Holzhauer, it's awesome that he's a professional sports bettor who gets on Jeopardy and kills it. And I love that he used plus EV tactics.
Right.
That was the cool part, is these people were like, why is this guy betting? He's like, he's picking the daily doubles. And of course he's going lower on the board because they've been stashing him. They've been stashing the daily doubles on the bottom of the board for 40 effing years. He's looking in the right spots for the daily doubles, and he's maximizing his potential dollar earnings. So I liked all that, but I'm probably more
who
of a
do you like in the matchup there, the three greatest of all time?
I think Holzhauer's got a pretty good shot because he's fast with the buzzer, and I don't know that Jennings. Although Jennings might, I wonder if Jennings will alter
his approach. I know he's gonna have to take his style, I think, to keep up.
I also think that recency helps you a ton.
Right?
How do you practice being on Jeopardy?
Will, when you watch? So I watch. I don't watch it because it makes me feel so dumb.
Yeah, but you got the Avenatti question,
but
right?
I watched the other day. I only got one question. None of them got it. It was about Michael Avenatti, and I wanted to just hang myself.
Yeah, my wife is. I don't watch it a lot in my house, and my wife is really good at it.
She is.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll know the answer, and I'll be like, she's like, man, that's name some Italian or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't play as much because she kicks my ass.
Yeah, exactly. But does she know Dallas versus New England? Does she have skinny on that?
Nah, she's got nothing.
She knows nothing about Tony Pollard. You can flex on Tony Pollard on her all day long.
Yeah, what do you know about Michael Gallup, girl?
Yeah. That's right, from Colorado State.
By the way, what do you think happens in that game? So, Dallas has the Eagles. They're trailing them by a game. New England's been rolling. I think New England's laying 6.5 in this game. But Dallas's offense has been great.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fascinating, I don't know if it's a litmus test, but you can beat the Patriots. You saw the Eagles-Patriots game. The Eagles were, they ran a... like a 10-minute drive, a 10-minute mm-hmm. touchdown drive where they just ran the ball down the Patriots' throats, and then Lane Johnson got hurt and they couldn't do anything. So if the Cowboys' offensive line plays well, I think Dallas can not only cover but win. It'll be really fascinating to see how they approach it, though, because, you know, Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott have been, you know, have been putting up points by throwing aggressively down the field. Well, you don't want to do that against the Patriots with their secondary. You want to try and soften up their front and then take shots. I also wonder if the Patriots – this is a great test for the Patriots defense, because not only do the Cowboys have a talented run game, I mean, they got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. Randall Cobb's playing really well. He's got back-to-back 100-yard games. Jason Witten is contributing in the passing game and is, you know, you got to deal with him. And Dak is making such good decisions. I really wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys went in there and won just because the offense is playing really well. And conversely, you know, Dallas's defense isn't very good, but they have a strong front four. And the Patriots' offensive line is hot trash right now. They're not blocking anybody. They can't run the ball. Brady doing the Yoda things on Twitter worries me a little bit, because maybe he's, you know, whenever he does the public motivation stuff and he's grumbling all week about his, you know, about the offense being bad, I could see him coming in fired up. I just think that the Cowboys are a bad matchup for the Patriots, just from a, you know, personnel standpoint. I think Dallas wins the game.
All right. Hey, Will, thank you, buddy. Have a great weekend, pal.
Yeah, you guys got it. Anytime. Have a great weekend.
Yep. All right. Thank
you,
buddy.
Have a good Thanksgiving, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
The jelly of like these couple of guests that we've asked their bowling score, and they've all been over 200.
They just crush it.
People get over 200? I thought only pros.
Do we stink?
I think I got over 200 once.
I know I'm not good.
I had it once, and it was just – I had a 6-strike roll.
You're in the zone.
It's never ever happened before.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a very coordinated person. I'm not – I can't pick up the spares. I don't know. I'm an athletic, coordinated person. I'm just not good at the game. It's so frustrating to me. It's so straightforward. It's not that hard.
Right.
Just bowl it down.
Apparently, it's harder than we all think.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it's
right, difficult. Got to take a break. Remember, a little bit later, Nick Casas will join us coming up at 9:45 to give us some winners here on the Junkies. CB was just, we try not to talk politics on the show, and we're not going to talk politics on the show, but EB said that William Barr, who's the Attorney General, passed some news, which can be devastating for people like Drab.
Well, I don't know. It just says, the quote I'm reading here, I'm just reading a little bit of the article. It says, the suicide was a perfect storm of screw-ups, you know, where like the guards fell asleep, the video apparently broke. Some people were charged with falsifying records.
But it's still a suicide.
He thinks it is because they do have some video that shows nobody entering the cell. So if no one entered the cell, then how else could it have happened? You know. But it's amazing to me how this has become a topic that like the whole country talks about. Like Epstein didn't kill himself. Like I don't even really care because he was one of the worst persons on earth. Right, he was a pedophile that preyed on young women.
It is
like, why do we care?
He's an evil person.
Actually, I don't care if it was
because it's tied to politics. If it wasn't tied to like Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton, there wouldn't be.
I know,
any
but like
intrigue.
Even on political shows, which I won't talk about here, but I watch at home, people bring it up on political shows
because
like,
it gets ratings.
That's just so weird. Like politicians are tweeting. Politicians are tweeting. Epstein didn't kill himself.
Good for ratings.
It's dumb.
It's ratings and followers and voter driven.
It's so weird.
On TV, it's the extent I know. I've talked to people on TV. They rate like every 8 minutes.
Of course.
Like so they can.
Drabby, are you convinced by this?
Tops.
Not at all.
You're standing strong. I like it, Drab.
I side with the top medical examiner from New York City who said that it looks like it
Michael
was...
Michael Bodden?
Yeah, Michael Bodden.
Yeah, everybody knows
I've
him
seen
from the
him on
OJ
so
trial.
Many
yeah.
HBO specials.
But Barr says he's personally reviewed security footage that confirms no one entered the cell the night he died.
He could be lying. I know nothing about it.
Huh?
They cut some frames out.
You think they doctored the footage?
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm in on Drab's conspiracy theory.
Hmm. Even though you know nothing about it.
I know nothing about it. I don't want to know about it.
Ask Adam, how hard would it be to doctor a tape? Adam?
I mean, it's not hard if you just edit.
I mean, if you can do it, anybody can do it. Correct?
That's supposedly his one area of expertise.
That's our witness. That's our expert witness right there.
Throw a green screen in there and bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah, but I'm sure forensic experts could analyze
whether or not the tape has been edited
and realize whether a green screen was used.
Right. Poor Adam.
The whole story is tilting me because the whole country's talking about Epstein negatively, and right. I'm over here a good citizen, last name Epstein.
You're a good Epstein.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah, your name gets dragged through the mud.
What about Juan Epstein?
He doesn't get that reference.
I know.
Hey,
Juan
dude,
Epstein was
you
money.
Know that you're losing the bet, right? You know we're shaving your head.
I
mean, I saw you take your shirt off. We didn't speak on it, but I mean, you've lost no pound. You've lost nothing.
I'd be willing to double the bet and go even deeper.
What?
You want to shave everything on my
crazy?
Body?
He's a crazy
no, I
person.
Don't.
Whoa.
I don't even know the bets because I guess this happened last week. He's not allowed to have liposuction or anything like that.
No, of course not.
Well, I don't know.
Hey,
you might have.
Let's take him up on this.
Double up. I got to get him 200.
So it's 200 a piece. And then
Jason
if he doesn't
won't do it,
well, if he doesn't do it, then we get to wax him in every single
area.
Do that
40-year-old virgin bit with him.
I'm not interested in waxing him. What kind of pervert
are you?
Well, no, it's
in?
Like it's like the shaving. We're getting rid of all his hair.
No,
you want to wax his Bozak. That's what you want to do.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that. I just want to point out that I don't think you've lost a pound.
How much
I can
have
guarantee
to
you that you're incorrect with that.
You think as of today, right now?
Yes.
How much does he have to lose?
Like 27 pounds?
Yeah.
By the beginning
in a month,
of January.
Started,
you got to lose a pound
week,
a day.
What day was the bet consummated?
Like last
roughly,
week. Like look how 15? Round his face looks. His face looks
so
like a bowling
27
ball.
27 pounds in 45 days.
You try to put your fingers in
you
his eyes.
Roll him down
come
the
here,
lane.
Put my fingers in your nose.
Well, he's allowed to cut,
No,
right?
I'm kidding. Just sit down, stupid.
He's allowed to cut, right?
Yeah, he could do whatever. He's done a sauna before.
Unhealthy thing he wants to do.
He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants.
I know. You have discipline. You could possibly do it.
I'm just figuring. So he has to lose really 17 pounds.
What are you talking about?
And then he could cut that last 10.
He doesn't know how to do that. He doesn't know how to do that.
He's dumb.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. I'm just doing the math in my head.
Yeah. Okay, someone like you who's disciplined could do it. I guarantee you,
you're being analytical about it. There's no analysis going on behind that glass
tonight.
He's going to work out.
But last night,
do you know how much cream spinach he's going to stuff in his face tonight in about 8 hours?
Me too, though. I'm going to have it too.
Cream spinach is so good. There.
Of course it is.
What?
I'm going to work out. That's my bit. Last night I got home at 8. I went straight to the gym.
What'd you do? You planked?
I planked, and then I treadmilled, and then I ellipticaled, and I cut my mile time down.
Yeah, that's not doing anything.
He cut his mile time down on the elliptical.
On the elliptical.
Let me tell you
I've
something.
I've never heard somebody talk about their mile time on the elliptical.
There's a woman. I've talked about this. I don't think – there's no way she listens. There's a woman that goes in there every day. She's on that elliptical. I mean, God bless her. She's getting bigger and bigger. Okay? For years, she comes at the same time every day. And she's getting bigger.
It's what you stick in
bigger.
Your mouth
right.
all day long that's
right.
causing it.
You can do this till you're blue in the face. Right. If you keep doing this.
Well, here's the thing.
The elliptical,
I've been
controlling. You can do it. I'll tell you this. Look, I've been around gyms forever, and there was a woman who used to do the elliptical who I knew a little bit. She was a marathoner. She was old. She was like 65 or 70 years old. The reason she stayed in shape, she would do 2 hours on the elliptical.
Yeah.
That's what you're
doing like
25
minutes.
Mile on the elliptical.
I do a mile at full speed and then a mile at half speed and
that's
a little
like,
bit of walking.
That's like biking around the corner.
20 minutes on the elliptical will burn one soda.
But here's the thing is that I wasn't doing this before. And so now
it's not
going to
make
a dent.
It's not going to make a dent.
Oh, it is.
It'll make
I'm
a little
you,
dent.
Hey, I will
this
say,
thing is getting smaller.
I will say, I have noticed that he's gotten a little bit smaller.
You think?
I mean,
what
I'm
do
next
you think,
to
Drab?
Him.
He might be down to 225.
I think he was begging for Bethesda bagels an hour ago. I found out on Wednesday.
That's true.
On Wednesday for lunch, he had a gyro and fries.
Oh, right. It sounds delicious.
Right.
He's a big liar.
Tonight, he's going to eat like a crazy.
Yeah. No. I'm smart about it. I had the gyro and fries, and then I went home for dinner. And I had a granola bar and water. That's it.
That was the day he went to the Wizards game and pigged out there.
Right. And then you went to the Wizards game.
And you had
8 drinks. Right. 9 drinks.
But then the next day, I had 8 glasses of water. And I'm flushing it out. And then I'm sweating it out in the sauna.
I think
water.
Yeah.
Sauna.
Yeah.
The sauna is Schmitz. Making a huge difference.
You
I'm
think?
Sure it is.
Yeah.
For the first couple of hours after, but then once you rehydrate...
You need it's all diet, dude. You got it backwards.
I'm saying though, you can do it if you get within striking distance, and then you just really focus for a couple of days. You could cut as much as 10 pounds in those last 2 days
in water weight.
Correct.
Yeah,
it would be counterfeit, but
in beer weight.
To win the bet, he could do it. As long as he can get down to, you know, the 210, 212 range.
Well, that's, I mean, it's not healthy, but that's a way to do it.
He's not going to get there if he wore a Glad bag 24-7 between now and January 1st.
You're talking like those high school wrestlers. What do you want to do to me?
I don't care. I don't care what we wind up doing to you.
He's actually just saying you're not going to do it.
I actually think Adam should take up dipping or smoking.
Yes,
instead of eating,
he
needs another oral fixation.
Short term,
a different oral fixation.
Look, smoking's terrible for you, but it's for 3 weeks.
I have been chewing more gum.
Just do it.
I have been chewing more gum recently at night to try to.
I feel like that's a kind of, I've always thought that's
a
good
is
theory.
That the shave cue ball.
Cue ball.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in a buzz cut.
Yeah, Bic it.
Yeah, you get down
like the bowling ball.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to look like powder.
Yeah.
By the way, we did post the pictures of your bowling ball in the bag. If you follow us on Twitter at Junks Radio or on Facebook, facebook.com/thejunks.
Right.
EB's inviting a new bag.
I need a new bag. Someone wants to donate
Santa.
One.
I will let you take a Sharpie and write, "I am a fat loser" all over my body.
That's kind of appealing.
Kind of funny.
Can I just circle your fat parts?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
jump it up to 200, though.
He's really confident.
For whatever reason, I'm not sure why.
But you know why? It's because the planking is getting easier. So I know my core is getting tighter.
Have you gotten on a scale?
No. Here's a question, though. Did you guys do the scale bit on the show? Like, is it verified?
That's actually
a great
point.
I don't think he's this smart. But let's say he was only 219.
Yeah. And then he said 229.
But then he told you guys 229. You know
that's true.
It's a great point.
There was not an official weigh-in.
Drabby?
You know
no,
what?
Because there was no bet until we found out how much you weighed. Yeah. We broke him down one day.
I came out and said my dad called me fat when he saw me step on the scale at 229.
You guys aren't following this. It's your word. My point is, did anybody actually see him on a scale?
No, but I didn't doubt it for a second.
Yeah, but we didn't know there was going to be this bet.
I think
you guys might want to put him on a scale just to see what he's at right now, because I'm not saying he's genius, but the genius would be
to say I'm 229, but only be 219.
219, and then 202 is only 17
pounds. The bet came because I was at a low point in my life where my father called me a fat pig and told me to lose weight. And I told you guys, and I wasn't even thinking about a bet. I just said, I literally stepped on the scale at 229, and Drab and Valdez couldn't believe it.
Right.
And they immediately ran to tell you.
Yeah, right. The bet evolved from his admission of being fat.
Right.
Right. So there's no lie in there.
I don't think there's a lie, but I'm just saying.
It's a good point, but he's too stupid.
I mean, it would be very
calculated.
With
him, the possibility of lying is always in play.
There's also videotape of my belly being 230. I mean,
It looks exact same to me.
I think you need to wrap your arms around it. You would tell.
I don't think you want to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I'm not upping it up yet because he has a weird confidence. It's scaring me, Cakes.
Yeah, but that's I don't know why. Yeah, it's just false bravado from him.
You want me
that's
to go,
all that is.
Hold on. What are you doing, Drab? You want me to go to George?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he was yelling at me.
All right. George, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
I'm not yelling. I put that bowling ball bag away. I can smell that thing through the phone, by the way. Hey, look, let me tell you something. You touched on something interesting. You said that there was a Washington Times or a Washington Post article about the popularity of the Nationals.
The Post did a poll.
You know, I think that's a very interesting. Do you think that the Nationals are more popular than back in the 1983 to 1988, the Redskins, that type of deal? My buddy just bought a Tyreek Hill signed jersey. He's jumping ship from the Redskins, and this is what's up with being a fan. If you can get through this decade, this 15 years, and we get back to doing some winning, you're going to look back at that and you're going to go, "Man, I'm a fan because these are the hard times." I'm coming up this weekend. We're watching Detroit. The good side is we get $28 club level tickets. But I'm telling you something. I mean, it's tough right now to be a Redskins fan, but back in the day, I mean, they were very, very popular.
Of course. That's the whole point. That's the point of the poll.
Thanks, George.
Well, I mean,
thanks for being on, George.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
What he was sort of down to business. Thanks for being on, George.
He's just pissed that people are bailing.
He's screaming at Redskins fans.
Yeah, why is he screaming
bailing,
at draft?
He's upset. Bailing during dire times.
I feel like he's calling in for our 6:15 segment. We talked about that at 6:15.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little bit behind the times.
He's using the rewind. He's using the rewind. That's what it is.
Yeah, do check out the rewind. It's fantastic. But coming up next at 9:45, we'll talk to Nick Costas, get some winners for the weekend. Keep it here. Couple things to mention. Join me and Cakes on Sunday. Glory Days Grill in Alexandria is where we will be for the Junkies pregame show on Washington Game Day Uncensored. Kicks off at 11.
Yep.
Before that mega matchup between the Lions and the Redskins. Also, let people know, 106.7 The Fan, proud to support Wreaths Across America at Arlington National Cemetery. You can donate a wreath and volunteer with us to lay wreaths at 106.7thefan.com/wreaths. All right, we're going to talk some gambling now with our pal Nick Costas, Radio.com Sports Betting Insider, host of You Better Your Bet. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can hear Nick on You Better Your Bet every night on the Radio.com app and website. What's up, Nick? What's going on?
What's going on, fellas? Great to talk to you guys and the great people of Washington, D.C. on a football Friday. Hey, how's everything going? How we doing?
Everything's good. We've been asking guests recently because we're all doing kind of a group dinner slash bowling thing tonight. What is your high score bowling?
Oh, I think I did, like, back in the day, when I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade, I was in a bowling league. And the way they worked it out in this particular bowling league, and I have no idea if they do this. I'm guessing they don't, like, really competitive bowling leagues, but it was done via handicap, right? So, like, we weren't, like, a great team, but in order to beat us, you had to, like, beat our handicap. So all we really had to do was, like, roll our average, and we would win, and we actually won the league. And I think, like, I was the anchor of the team, and I think I think I rolled, like, a 180 once. But, like, I never hit, like, 200, though. And that was with a lot of practice also, was 180.
I was going to say, if you got 200, 200 is, like, pro. When I hear somebody gets 200, that's much respect. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom.
That was a lot of practice, and I never hit 200. So I think 180 was around the max.
180 is probably a 5 or 6 strike game, though. I mean, that's pretty strong.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, listen, this could be like Al Bundy, poke high, like 4 touchdowns. Like, I could be making it up, as the years go on. It might have been like 150, but, you know, that was like 20 years ago, and now, like, I'm at, you know, you may ask me this next year, and I may be like 260, so we'll see. Like, I think it was somewhere around like 180. It may have been like 150, though. I don't really know. It's like 20 years ago. Tough to say.
All right, so the biggest game on the NFL slate on Sunday is Dallas at New England. Dallas, highest scoring team in the league, I believe. Their offense is rolling. New England's got the great defense. They're laying 6.5. What do you see happening in that game?
Well, I want to say this first off, that there's no way that the picks and the information, well, the information's always good that I give you guys. There's no way the picks could be worse than they were last week. Last week, guys, I've been doing this for 15 years. I've never gone over picking NFL sides before. I went 0-7 last week picking NFL sides today, which I feel like is almost more impressive than going 7-0, and I feel like I should almost get some of my money back if you go 0-7. I feel like that's pretty impressive. So the bounce back's coming. Started last night with the Indianapolis Colts last night, and you bet +3.5. So that was a good cover. So I'm feeling good going into this weekend. And there's no better way to feel good. Like, you want to feel good about yourself on an NFL Sunday. You want to feel good about your bank account. You know what you got to do. You got to fade Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That's always a winning proposition. I'm going to take the points with the Dallas Cowboys, guys. And here's why. If the Cowboys had a coach with half a brain, and you guys are, you know, in the D.C. area, so you've seen a lot of Cowboys games, right? If the Cowboys had a coach with half a brain, they would win this game outright. The Cowboys are a better team right now than the Patriots. 1-53, they are better. So all I need to do, if you're going to bet on the Cowboys in this game, you need Jason Garrett not to screw it up. I'm going to bet on Jason Garrett not screwing it up enough to have the Patriots win this game by 7 or more. Dallas is the better team. Give me the points with Dallas. Again, public covered every single big side last weekend, all of them. Every single public favorite won. The Patriots are the ultimate public favorite. I'm going to bet on that not happening again this week, so I'm going to take the points with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. Give me those 6.5. But I'm going to wait to bet it, guys, until Sunday, and I'm going to get 7, because that's one of only 2 games on that afternoon window and the 4 o'clock window on the East Coast. Everyone's going to bet that game. Everyone's going to bet the Patriots. That number's going to go up to 7. So if you like Dallas, wait until Sunday.
So looking at some of the lines, I'm kind of intrigued with the Monday night game. The Rams, of course, in the Super Bowl last year, I believe are catching 3 points against Baltimore at home.
Oh, yeah. I bet this game a couple days ago, full disclosure. I got 3.5 with the Rams. I still like it, though, getting 3. This is a hashtag primetime home underdog play here. And we are going to – we're selling the Ravens here while they're at the absolute apex of the market. Like, I'm not sure that the market could value the Ravens any more than they do now. The look-ahead number for this game, guys, last week for this Monday night game was Rams -1. And then we saw what Baltimore did this past weekend. And, like, the Rams, like, they won on Sunday night, but they didn't look great on offense. It's a 4-point adjustment, 4.5-point adjustment if you got it at 3.5. So, again, this past Monday night, we saw the Chiefs were an extremely public favorite. And God bless anyone that bet money and won on the Chiefs. I had the Chargers and I had a loser. But I don't anticipate that really happening again. And on Monday, everyone's going to bet on Baltimore. This number will go back up to 3.5. It could go back up to 4. So if you like the Rams, wait until Monday. Wait until right before kickoff, and you'll probably get the best number there, probably get the Rams and over a field goal. I think they're a tremendous value at getting anything 3 or better. It's certainly 3.5 better than 3.
Nick, what about the upcoming dud here in D.C., the Lions visiting the Redskins? Redskins catching 3.5. Your over-under here is 41.5.
Man, I got no interest in betting in this game. So here's the thing, man. It's like I'd like to make a – you can't make a case for either side. It's like when I first saw this line, it's a crazy line because like, just risk on the line shouldn't be 3.5-point favorites on the road against anyone in the NFL. But then we watched the Redskins game last week, and Bill Callahan's apologizing after the game. And the video emerges of Dwayne Haskins asking his offensive lineman for help, but he gets blown off worse than I did at the bar in college trying to talk to a pretty girl. That was absolutely terrible. But then, like, on the flip side, like, who the hell's Bennett Duck? Matthew Stafford's playing quarterback for the Lions. I'm laying 3.5 on the road with Jeff Driscoll. I'm going to have no investment in this game whatsoever, and I can't really recommend anyone to have an investment. I'll say this. The Lions are going to be a public side. The vast majority of tickets are going to be on the Lions here. So if you believe in kind of like a sports book bounce back that the public can't crush 2 weeks in a row, then I would say maybe put something on the Redskins, but I don't necessarily have the stomach to do that myself.
All right, Nick, we got to run. That's Nick Costas, Radio.com sports betting insider. Check out You Better Your Bet on the Radio.com app and the website. It's all brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Wishing you guys and all the listeners minimal sweats when he bets in the absolute very best of luck. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Nobody wants sweats.
He's got his patented line.
Right.
He's got to get it in. Bets.
He's got better clothes than we do. Bus crash that happens every end of our show.
Right now, though, we're going to hook up our listeners. Tickets to the World Series documentary Red Carpet premiere by Budweiser, where Ryan Zimmerman, Mike Rizzo, Mark Lerner, and more will be there December 2nd at the Anthem. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You can get more details at thefandc.com.
All right, we're going to give Jim from Chevy Chase, who's been holding for like an hour, we're going to give him like 15 seconds.
Jim, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, quick.
Hey, good counsel, man. We're going to get what DeMatha wasn't able to get done. We're going to take down St. John's Sunday night football championship.
Nice. Where's the game being held?
Is How old are you, 50? You still care about your high
university.
School?
Is that Maryland?
6 okay. o'clock. We're going to start off with a Under Armour bonfire, burning all our overpriced gear, and then we're going to
Oh, I can't support down, that.
We're going to take down
so you don't
John's
hang up on this
field.
Man.
Gates is a big Under Armour stockholder.
I can't support
major
that.
Major shareholder.
I can't support that anti-Under Armour propaganda.
Oh, my
no
God.
No, thank you.
I found a picture of a woman who was born with 19 toes. Ooh. Look at this, Gates.
I DM'd that to Drab.
I don't need to
that?
Look.
Oh, my God.
I just looked. I wish I hadn't.
You imagine doing thing. Little piggy with her?
Oh, my God.
Well, we're heading to the Palms
way to close the week.
Bowling. Got to get out of here.
A hell of a night plan.
TB, I'm JP. Great idea. They're up next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.